God lives by miracles, does miracles. He's a miracle-working God, and we're a miracle-working people. Father, we just come to you right now, and we just dedicate the next moment of this service to you. We give ourselves over to the Word. We just pray that there would be a lifting off of mindsets, of doubt, of resistance, of low expectations. So, Father, right now we just want to enter into the newness of God. Father, understanding the season that we are in, and in the season we are in, you've asking us to lift our expectations. So, Father, as we give ourselves to this, I just thank you that every single person that calls this their home and will join to be this home, Father, will start to live an extraordinary life. Father, that is above what we can think about, above what we can imagine, above what we have read. Father, I pray that there would be such a significance lift within our hearts and our spirits in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat. You know, there's a lot of talk when you pick up book on discipleships and people go, you know, we need to be more discipled and things like that. I want to just show you something about how we grow. We're talking about expectations. And what we learned last week was if you want a happy life, you lower your expectations. So when something little happens, you get surprised and you think you've got a good life. So the whole concept is if you want to be happy, what destroys happiness is disappointment. To get rid of disappointment, you lower. Now, we're going to talk about expectations, but to understand something with expectations is that the way you become like Jesus is by your expectations. See, when I was young, I used to pray prayers that I didn't really know what I was doing. I said, Jesus, I want to be like you. So what I thought to be more like Jesus, I need to read more. So I would read more. I used to go on Bible reading binges. You know, like some people go on, you know, Xbox or whatever they do nowadays. I used to go, okay, I'm going to read 24/7. And I remember a few times I read for about 48 hours. And I thought, boy, I'm more like Jesus. How good am I? Then I would fast. I would just decide, okay, I'm going to fast for 2 weeks just on water fast. I did that, and I thought, well, I'm becoming more like Jesus. I could memorize scripture. I thought I was becoming more like Jesus. The only problem was I was doing that but being frustrated. How many of you found out you know more, you can remember more scripture, but you feel far away from God? Oh, come on, yeah. I mean, look, sometimes, you know, you go, man, I know scripture. I know more scripture now than I have ever. I remember, you know, when Sula and I started our, becoming youth pastors, we dropped from a huge package to a low package financially. And I remember spending $5,000 on books. And I thought, wow, am I clever. Do you know what I've done with those books? They look really good on the shelf. See, the disappointment came in because I'm thinking, I want to grow, so I'm doing the best that I can, and yet I'm coming up short. The Word of God says, no, let me show you why we need to lift up our expectations. Because when people go, well, I'm happy where I am. Wrong. Understand something. When you get into the life of God, you're never satisfied. You're satisfied with Jesus, but you're still hungry. It's a bit of like an oxymoron thing where you're going, I am really satisfied with God, but I want more. I've just eaten, but in a couple of hours I want. So it's not a once and now. Watch this. The way you become more like Jesus is the increase of your expectations. Now, it's this. I haven't got the scripture on there, but as we were worshiping, this scripture came to mind. In 2 Peter 1, verse 4. I'll bring it up next week. As a result of this, he has given you magnificent promises that are beyond all price, so that through the power of these tremendous promises, you can experience partnership with divine nature, by which you have escaped the corruption desires that are of the world. Let me read it to you again. As a result of this, he has given you magnificent promises that are beyond all price, that Through these precious promises, you can experience partnership with divine nature. Watch this. When you start to stretch for the promises of God, you're starting to become like God. The moment you stop reaching, you stop growing. Look, that's what's happened to me over the last couple of weeks when we were in Footscray, and then God said, "Ted, you need to come out of your cave." It was this. I do a lot of good thinking in the spa, so I generally when I go into the spa, it's 2 to 3 hours. And one of the things that I remember, I'm saying, God, I'm lifting my expectations. And he goes, Ted, you stopped growing because you stopped expecting. The church stopped growing because it stopped expecting. You know, God's speaking to me and goes, Ted, are you expecting the building that you've been promised? I go, sort of. God's promised us an epicenter, not a backyard center, right? And all of a sudden, I'm in the spa. And God starts to say, you need to come out, and because when you start to reach like promises, you're acting like a son. If you are not, you are not. So here's the thing is, we talk about discipleship. If you are not growing, if you are not going after the promises that God has given you, you've stopped growing. And when you stop growing, you learn to become satisfied with less. One of the things that's happened to me when I've learned how to cook is I have high expectations of restaurants. I know how to cook, trust me. I love cooking. So when I couldn't cook, McDonald's was, wow. I mean, you taste it, it's flavorsome, it smells good. I thought, wow, I'm in heaven. But then when you can make something better than McDonald's, you go to McDonald's, you go, oh, gee, I want my money back. This is getting good. So you got this concept where God is saying, what I want you to do is when you are reaching for the promises, you are becoming more like me. And when you become more like me, you will go after more and more and more. One of my heroes of the faith is Smith Wigglesworth. Do you know how he passed away? He passed away praying for the sick. He was in his 80s. And he was ministering right up to the point that God took him home. I'm going, wow, what a way to go. Can you imagine you come to church and you pass away in church? I was ministering in Papua New Guinea, and one of the pastors was saying that this guy came into church and he brought his little mat along. And the pastor says, what's that for? He says, well, you know, Jesus is going to take me home. I've had an amazing life. My family is saved. My kids are saved. I'm just so full of God. I'm going home today. During worship, he laid down and died. I'm going, I like that. We'll probably have to have a secret door just so he can take you out. No. But just watch this. When you start to see this, when God says, I've given you 8,852 promises plus extravagant promises. They said, whatever you can believe, you can have. So God says, the reason I've given them is because this is what makes you grow. So if you're not going, if you are settled, you've stopped growing. If you are content, you see, I'm wrapped with my life, but I want more. See, we've been taught, get a load of this. This is how it's entered into our church or relationship building. I have dropped my expectations, so therefore I am happy. I am no longer disappointed. I am no longer reaching out for the best. I am quite content. And we think, well, it feels good for a while, but it's not God. The moment we stop going after souls, miracles, we lose it. The moment we stop reaching for the best, we lose it. The moment we can't see, I should be content with what I have. Now, understand something. We've taken the word contentment and taken it out of the kingdom. The word contentment, the Bible says, be content with what you have. He wasn't doing this. Be content and stay where you are. It was How do you see when he comes to material things? How do you become uncontented? You start to look at others. I want what he's got. I want what he's got. I want what he's got. See, that's what Paul was saying about. Become content with what you have and go after your stuff. Don't look after other people's stuff. So somebody can drive up to you in a Rolls Royce and you're happy. Why? Because you're content with what you've got. But you're not going, look at him, look at him. I mean, I remember one time with the flying I do, they love me, so they upgrade me. But the problem with some of the upgrades is church people. I remember one, Sul and I were given first class tickets to go to Europe. And one of my youth that used to know me comes up through and he's walking and he walks past us and he goes, whoa, spending a lot of money, are we? I said to Jesus, am I allowed to smack him? And then the Holy Spirit said, no, throw him out of the plane when it's up high. No, he didn't. So God, see, one of the things I love, it was that Rodney Howard Brown that showed this to me. He said it like this. Let me just, when we start now, we're talking about things. If God's number one, God doesn't tell you what to do with number two. Let me just say this to you. If God is number, God doesn't do this. Okay, Ted, it's God, your wife, your family. We think mathematical because we have Chinese brains for some reason. I know I'm Croatian, but I know that there's Chinese in me. You know why? When I see a pig, I don't throw anything away. You know when you're not Asian, you look at a pig and you go, I'll have that part. Well, I look at it and go, wow, you can make a stock out of that, soup out of this. Wow, and the head looks really good mounted on a wall. Okay. Now I don't even know where I am now. But God says this, if I am number one, everything else drops into it. Now, if you want to know a little bit more about God on our podcast, I talked about the Ten Commandments. The reason the Ten Commandments messes up a lot of people because God says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God first, and then everything drops in. The other nine depend on the first. And you know when you're struggling with any of the other nine is because you haven't got the first right. Yeah, that's clever, isn't it? I need to write a book. Now, so God says to us, go for it now. Stretch out for the promises. Now, this is what last week we were talking about. Now, we go through life. Now, can I just say something? We don't choose the cards we're dealt with. I didn't choose the life that I've had. I didn't even choose. If I had, I wouldn't have picked my parents. I would have picked to be born in Rome. Right? Tuscany, beachside villa, yachts, Ferraris. You know, I would have loved to be born in a rich family, but no, God put me in this place called Osijek with two parents that were absolutely dysfunctional, and one would happen to be a pastor. That would have made it even worse. I was born into a religious church that I loved God, hated the church, and I ended up hating both of them. Come on. But God dealt that to me. But what I realized, I didn't realize this, what I am dealt with when I entered this world is not what I am meant to live. God put me in a dysfunctional family to make me functional. See, what we tend to do without low expectations, well, this is as good as it gets. This is who I am. This is my personality. Well, look, get rid of your personality. Silva just told you, it's dead. The reason this is when you go after promises, you get God's personality. You get kind of God attitudes. You can't do that. I can because I'm God. Ooh, oh yeah. You can't walk on water. I can because I'm God. Oh, okay. Jesus goes, listen, watch me and do what I do. But there's this process that God puts on us. And he goes, during the process, but you going after the promises that I have given you. Now, let me give you to this. All the word promises that we talk about are unsolicited promises. In other words, is this way. I can get a promise out of you, but I can coerce you. I can go to AJ. AJ, I pay some of your wage. I really like you. And will you promise me when I'm shifting house that you would help me? Remembering that I'm your boss. See, and AJ goes, yes. That's called a solicited promise. That he gave a promise because I drew it out of him. Correct? You with me? But you know what God does with the word? He doesn't wait for you to ask him to give him a promise. He gives it to you. So henceforth, watch this. So the promises were not solicited by us. My expectation is not because I've made something up. My expectation is I got the word and the word said this is who he is and this is what he does. So hence, the pressure then comes off me, it goes back on him. Because I never asked God to be born, never asked for any of that, but I got into it, and God says, now you are in my domain, this is what I will do for you. Why do we call it a family? See, when I have my kids believe that I am at the ATM machine. Their picture of dad is ATM. I still get it. I get my daughters come, and my son, and they go, hey, dad, my car's not, something's rattling in it. Can you take it for a drive? You know what that means? It means he's got no petrol in it. So they know that sneaky little. So I go in there and I go, no rattle, but the light's shot flashing. Fill me up, 10 kilometers to go. And so what does the ATM machine do? See, I brought them into the world, so therefore I am responsible for them. Still. Come on. You can't get rid of kids. I am telling you, if you're married, or if you're not married and you go, I'm going to have kids and have a great life. No. It's a life sentence. Because now watch this. Here's the principle that we forget. I brought him into the world, so therefore I am responsible. Or otherwise, I'm illegitimate. Are you okay? I'm just letting you in how God thinks a little bit. See, God brought us into the world, so therefore he's responsible for me, not me. So therefore my expectation is, well, you brought me into this world. I never asked, so you're responsible. See, I've got this iPhone. Cool, isn't it? And my iPhone has this little Apple on it. Now, when I have a problem with this, I ring up Apple. And Apple are really good to me. They call me, may I call you Edward? I go, if I call you 3 or 4 times, we can go down to Ted. And I go, yes, how can we help you? Well, I have this problem. We'll fix it. How much is it going to cost me? Nothing. Why? Because their reputation is on the line. Because they have got this symbol called Apple. They're not interested in me. They're interested in their reputation. So the reason when you buy a new car, you bring it in and they service it for free, it's not because they like you. General Motors hasn't got a library of all the people that bought their cars and go, oh, I love you, right? The reason they're doing it is because their reputation is on the line. Now, if a business mindset that is not kingdom has that kind of a concept, how much more has the kingdom of God? The reason Jesus died because he was responsible for Adam and Eve. That is why it was not an issue to die for Jesus. We birthed them, we gave them promises, and we will make sure that the promises that we have given them get fulfilled. Watch this. Adam comes into the world. Before he came into the world, God said, Adam, this is how you are going to end up. You are going to end up prosperous. You are going to end up blessed. You are going to be end up having kids all around you. Adam, you are going to be successful. Then when he's finished him, he comes into him and he goes, Adam, creates him. He messes up. But you know what God does? He looks into the future and he goes, but that's what I created you for. I am responsible that you hid that. So I will die so that you can fulfill what I want you to fulfill. I can relax a little bit more because God's responsible. God is responsible for me. See, we take on anxiety is a sign that you've taken on something that you shouldn't have. If you're feeling anxious, you've taken on something that you shouldn't have. God says, stop worrying about tomorrow. Oh, that's just a nice cliche. No, it's not a nice cliche. Because God says, listen, I'm responsible for you today. I don't check out. Come on, parents check out. I used to check out. They'll be talking to me, and I know the cricket is on. Your pastor does that to me. She knows. I'm watching sport. Anytime I'm watching sport, I know what she will do. She will want to have a deep and meaningful conversation while the cricket is on. Not even God does that. Right? So she's talking to me. But I'm not hearing. I'm having a conversation. I've checked out. And I've checked in somewhere else. And then I hear this. Earth calling Ted. Come in, Ted. That means that it's going to be a painful day. So here's God. He's finished your end. See, the amazing thing about God, he finishes you, then he starts you. So you have already been finished. Now he starts with you, and every time you mess up, God says, it is my responsibility to pick you up because it's my reputation that's at line. How many of you heard of this phrase, for my name's sake? All the religious people know what that means. It doesn't mean a thing. The reason I will look after my children is because they bear my name, for my name's sake. It's because the way they appear in public, how they dress, what they do reflects on me. And I want to be looked well. So therefore, I will sacrifice for my name's sake. I gave them the name, the most beautiful name next to Jesus. Fabianic. If I was in China, it'd be, That's why the Chinese are so rich. Seriously, you know why? How much time do we spend signing our name? Can you imagine just signing, You can just don't. Anyway, that's something else. So watch this. Now, this woman has a desire. She's gone through the process of grieving. She's gone through the process, I have decided. Now, this woman is in church. This woman is looking financially after a prophet. We're not talking about a sinful woman. Now, listen to me very carefully here. We got to get out of this, who sinned? Isn't it interesting? When Jesus heals a man that was born blind, the first thing that was asked, who in his family sinned? So we're looking to do this. So sometimes we do this. The reason that has happened to me is because I've done something bad. Now, here's the problem with that. Once you repent of that, that should be automatically changed. Come on. The frustration then comes in. How many of you know, how many of you repented of stuff you've never even done? I remember as a kid thinking, I might as well do stuff because I'm repenting of it. Because what we think is, when I repent of that, that should happen. So, we'll go there another day. I've got so much. we'll leave that to another day. It works like this. Is that sometimes things happen and it's not our fault. Think about Job. God sets him up. He goes, have you thought about Job? If I was Job, forget it. See, sometimes we go, I've done something wrong, so therefore I have this. So this woman is in church. She's financially supporting a prophet. She's got a great husband. She's doing really, really well, except she has this deep desire that she's buried. Now watch this. She doesn't come to God. God comes to her. So sometimes what we think, sometimes what we do is this, how can I make myself attractive so that God's attracted to me? Shh. Oh, I know. We've got to worship. So you think, but you by worshiping, God's attracted to you, so therefore you're paying for a miracle by your worship. Are you okay? What did this woman do? She stayed doing what she was. God was the one that said, I am coming for you. Look at what she says. Elisha said to her, this time next year, you're going to be nursing an infant son. Oh, my master, holy man, she said, don't play games with me, teasing me with such fantasies. Let's be really dead honest here. Not alive honest, sorry. How many people, you hear this, you know, we need to forgive Jesus because we got so much disappointment. People going, I'm disappointed with God. There's books about I'm disappointed with God, I'm disappointed, I'm disappointed, I'm disappointed. I want you to notice something here. Oh, my master, holy man, she said, don't play games with me, teasing me with such fantasies. I want you to know she's not blaming God. She's not going, God did this, God did this, God did this. What is she saying is, I have emotionally worn out. I have tried it. I am now satisfied with my lot in life. This is who I am. This is what I am. And this is how it's going to be. But she has a problem. God. Because God's going, I didn't design this. I'm coming to get you. I want you to notice something. This principle goes all the way back to Genesis. When Adam sinned, did he send Eve to Jesus? Hey, Eve, I think he likes you better than me. Can you go up to God and tell him we've really messed up and get him to fix it up? What did they do? They went and hid. So what does the father do? He goes after them. I've got some really good news for you. God's going after you. Well, what do I got to do? Sit in the presence. We need to relax. Everybody relax. See, when you get a great concept of God, when you get the right concept of God, God's coming after me. God's coming after me. God's coming after our church. God's coming after our family. This is just the intro. Okay? So what we need to do is understand something. Let's get out of this sin factor that where you are, where we are, whatever things are happening is, okay, we've sinned and this is the consequence. Let me just, people say, whatever you sow, you shall reap. How many heard of that? Do you know how over-exaggerated that is? If that was true, none of us would be saved. Just think, okay, you with me? Think about this. How many negative words have you said and how many positive words? If you want to talk about my life, I reckon 1 to 100. If I were to reap everything that I sow, I wouldn't be here. I remember in my stupid days, having a family sedan, thinking that it's a Formula One racing car. I mean, I'm just going, God was going, angels, you need to surround this boy. Because he's breaking everything. And God says, well, I've got to get him to preach and I've got to get him to marry this beautiful woman. He's got to have great kids. He's got to build the best church in the world. We've got to keep him for that. See, some of you go, oh, this is because we're reaping and sowing, reaping and sowing. Yes, there is a pecker, but there's more power in the blood to negate negative words. You okay? I'm preaching so well today, I'm going to get this myself. Because I want to be more like Jesus. I want a church that is like Jesus. I want a church where people walk in, and if you're not going after promises, you're the odd one out. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't it be amazing that it's normal, that everything that we think is happens spectacularly starts to become normal? I want a church that it's normal to have a good marriage. We don't want a church that says, we can patch up your marriage and you can live happily ever after in separate rooms. And when you want to talk, there's a function button called SMS or FaceTime or whatever. See, the reason being is God has said, you want to become like me? You want a church like me? Start to reach for the impossible. Impossible. Now, watch, understand this. This is where the pressure is. I am going, okay, God, you are the one that initiated it. It has to be your power. So what we need is the release of the faith of God in our lives so that we can accomplish what He has given us. So what we need, and we're going to pray for people this morning, is to release. Sylvia and I were praying this morning, and what we both felt was, I'm going to lay hands and we're going to release faith. Because it is by faith that we get promises. It's not by effort. It's not by extensive worship, which I love. But it is by faith. And God says this. I put the pressure on Him. Well, you gave me the promise. Now give me the enablement so I can take the promise. So what we need, I left the worship band to come up. I believe we started the year off going building living stones. How are we going to build us? We're going to build all of us. How are we going to build the church? How are we going to build our finances? We're going to build them by reaching for the promises. We're going to lift my expectation on God. Now, listen to me carefully now. I was talking to Jonathan after the last week's meeting, and he goes, we don't put the same expectation on people as we do on God. You know why? Because condemnation kicks in. So I have high expectations of God, but I don't go to survey because the same expectation I have on my father, I have on you. I put pressure on her. And then when she doesn't hit it, she feels condemned. And then she starts into condemnation. And when she's struggling with condemnation, she's not reaching for the promises. See, that's the game Satan plays. He loves this game. It's called condemnation. I'll put an expectation on something that should have never been put an expectation. And then when they fall, they'll feel condemned and we've got the cycle. You okay? Can I just say this in my personal relationship with Sylvie? She is not designed to make me complete. I was complete before she married me. Do you know why? Because I'm putting pressure on her. So if I do that, you know what I'm saying to her? If there's something wrong with me, it's your fault. People do that with churches. They put an expectation on the church. You don't put an expectation on faith life. You put your expectation on Jesus. And then when the church disappoints you, listen to me carefully. I will disappoint people. You will love me as long as I do what you want. The moment I do what you don't want, I'm disappointed. I'm... Right? You okay? So what we need to do is to take the pressure of each other. Because as I am reaching for the promises, so is my wife, so are my children, so are my leaders. The moment I take my eyes off the supply who said for the promise, Peter sank when he took his eyes off the promise keeper and he put his faith on what he was victorious over. You watching? He was victorious over the law that if you jump in water, you will sink. So he's doing it. Why? Because as he's looking on Jesus, see, this is what expectation does. If you think of expectation as a rope, and I anchor myself in God, and I'm pulling myself. I keep my eyes on Jesus, and my faith is getting fed. My faith. Hi. You relaxed? Right, today, we need to do something really dramatic. We need to go, okay, God, release in me so I can go after. What I love about this story, this is becoming one of my favorite passages, is that she got to a point where she said, I can't do it anymore. I was just, I love reading Smith Wigglesworth, and he was in a place where this woman was so cancerously, the whole body was, and it was gone. He was a man of faith, and he looked at her, and every energy just drew out of him, instead of laying hands on the woman, he got into the presence of God, and this is what he said: when my faith hit the limit, I went into heaven and I drew his faith. And now by his faith, this woman is so cancer ridden, there is no hope. But he goes, my faith came to a limit. You know some things? He wasn't ashamed that his faith came to the limit. What he was, he goes, I need another level of faith. So what does he do? He doesn't go, well, okay, I'm too bad. I'm so sad. We'll see you when I die as well. What does he do? He says, Father, your promise is to heal her. Okay, I haven't got it. You have. So he reaches into heaven and he says this thing flooded his soul. And all of a sudden he had faith for the impossible. But to have faith for the impossible, you need to know where you are. You got promises and you go, I can't do it. It's a good thing, church. It's a good thing. So therefore, God says, I didn't do this to frustrate you. I did this to elevate you. So you know what we're going to do today? If you want prayer, we're going to open the front. I'm going to lay hands on you. So we're going to do this publicly, and then if you want prayer, we're going to lift our expectations. The first thing we need to do is make a decision. I want to become like Jesus. We've learned that the way to become like Jesus is to go after promises. And then when we hit a promise that is so out there, and we go, God, I've come for you. You see, what I love, this miracle happened not because this woman, it's because the Father said, my end is better than this, and you can't do it yourself. I will come and I will do it for you. So some of us are going to have to go through some painful stuff right now. We're going to have to go to the things that we've given up on, the things that we have buried, and admit it. You know what was interesting? We talked about this last week. Jesus takes Mary and Martha to the tomb of Lazarus. He takes them to the point where he'd hurt. Why? They said, I haven't got the faith. Therefore, my brother is buried. And Jesus goes, yes, that's true. But there's something amazing. Is I'm now in the equation. I want you to, you need a mental picture of this. This woman is alone. This woman is there, but something changes. Her situation doesn't change, but the person standing next to her changes. And the person that is standing next to her is God. And when God is next to you, all things become possible. So we need a picture. I am not alone. Yes, that's buried. Yes, that's buried. But you came for me. I didn't give you an invite. I didn't worship you, but you
came for me. Adam, I've come for you. Eve, I've come for you. But we're ashamed. He goes, it's not about you. It's about I come for you. We're going to go over this year and into the next year. We're going to, this church will become like its name, Faith Life Church. That was a prophetic thing. It has been tested. It has been pruned, but now it's on the way up. Now, what we're going to do, I'm going to take condemnation off you. The condemnation is, if I had done that, if. Stop with the if. Listen to me carefully. Do you know why we stop with the if? When Satan was testing Jesus, what's the one word that he used in every single test? If. If you are the Son of God, if you're really this, if. Every time you hear an if, slam it. Slap that dirty devil on the face. And you know what the word if is? The word if you had done that, means you've got something. You cannot be given an if you don't possess anything. You cannot have an antichrist spirit without the Christ. So anytime you get this, what if? No, that means I've got something. So when the enemy comes up, but if you hadn't sinned, wrong. It's not about my sin, it's about his blood. See, to get the promises, we got to take our eyes off our situation and put it on the promise keeper. He's invited you. We're not self-appointed, nor are we self-invited. I got invited into the kingdom. I didn't push my way into the kingdom. Come on, stand with me. Holy Spirit, right now. Father, you know every single situation. Father, we are all here on different levels. Father, some of us are exactly what this amazing woman did. She's in the house. She's serving. She just loves you so much. But there was a dream that died. Father, right now, you're going to come to people. Right now, I am believing. My faith is at a level this morning that God is come for you. That means you can stop struggling. You can stop reflecting. And you go, God, I'm in your presence. Be God. Father, I just pray that we want to become like you. Father, we want to have your attitude. We want to be like you, Jesus. The only way we can change this world, the only way that the kingdom of God is advanced, is when we, your children, become like our Father in every way. So Father, right now, why don't you just lift up your hands? Father, I just give myself to you. God, I'm going to stop looking. I'm going to stop reflecting on me. But I'm going to look at you. God, I am where I am, and that is it. But you're here. You come for me. You came for me because my end is good. So Father, right now, we release the faith of God in this house. Father, release the faith of God in the house. Father, faith for miracles. Father, faith to see the impossible. Release the faith for the promises. Release it now. Release. I release the faith of God in the house. It's not an effort. It's just release. It's flowing in you. It's here right now. Everybody, just look at me for a second. Pastor Silva shared this morning so eloquently and fantastically about that we've been crucified with Christ. Let me tell you the biggest difference between the two crucifixion was you were crucified, but you felt no pain. He was crucified and he felt the pain. Right? So we were crucified. We were not dying for us. We were with him, but he says, you don't feel the pain. I feel the pain. I'm taking responsibility for you. So you are associated with me, so you know what happened, but I take your sickness. I take your sin. I take your shame. So therefore, you now live in the resurrection power. So that means that anything you feel you've done that has separated you, finished. It's finished. Come on, lift up your hands. Father, it's not about us. Father, we release self-effort. Father, we release manipulation. Father, we release trying to earn it. Father, we receive the faith of God to receive the promises. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. For His name's sake. I accept the faith of God in my life. I accept it. Father, right now, we accept the faith of God. You know what we're going to do now? We're going to just open the front. We're going to pray for people. We're going to impart. I believe there's the atmosphere of faith to release faith. I believe it's here right now. I believe the atmosphere for faith, for your family, for your finances, for your health, for your relatives. We are no longer going to settle down for mediocre. We're no longer just going to play. We're no longer just going to attend. We are going to be releases of faith for promises. We're going to take, as a church, we are going to live up to our name because of the power of God. We're going to go after things that we never thought were possible. We're going to go after people to get saved. We're going to go after the miracles. We're going after the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We are going after the supernatural. Jesus. If you want to pray, I want you to just come out of your seat right now in this atmosphere. We're going to release. What we're going to do, this is what I'm praying for. As hands are laid on you, receive the faith for the impossible. Remember, it's His faith. Remember, it's His faith. Father, right now, as hands are laid on people, I pray that there would be a release for faith for the impossible. Father, we do this because we're standing on your word. Father, at your word, we are doing this. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus,